Russian women in World War One. Now, these are Russian women in the military. The Russian Revolutionary Army in 1917 actually had several battalions of women. They're referred to as Russian Women's Battalions of Death. Now, the most famous one is led by Maria Bakharova, who is sometimes called the Joan of Arc of Russia. Now, she was born in 1889 in Siberia. She's the third child of a peasant family and, of course, tried to escape the hardships of life. You know, it's tough in Siberia at any time, but particularly at that time. She tried to enlist in the Russian army at the age of 25 in 1914. And she was turned down at that particular time. But by 1915, the Russians began accepting some women. And she was then brought into the military and given a war name, Yashka. She had been wounded several times in 1915 and was seriously wounded in 1916. Won the very prestigious Cross of St. George and was promoted to non-commissioned officer status. So she's done a great job. However, of course, the war is a disaster for Russia. They don't have the industrial capacity to keep up. The troops are poorly armed, very little ammunition, very low morale, and as things get worse and worse and worse, they just literally disintegrate. You have the February Revolution of 1917, and as Lenin says, you know, the Russian army supported the government with its feet by going home in many cases. Maria went to Petrograd during this time period, early 1917, and there met with the former Duma president, Mikhail Rodznikov, who became her both a friend and her patron. She suggested that what was needed was a unit of about 300 women. The idea was to shame the men in the fighting. She believed that if the men saw women fighting, that it would embarrass them and that would help them regain their morale. Now, General Brusilov at this time liked the idea, and then he took it to then Minister of War Alexander Kerensky, who of course ends up running the government later on for a short period of time. And on May the 20th, 1917, the idea was approved. The public announcement was made on the 21st of May during a fundraiser for the Home of the Invalids, and Maria was to be the main speaker. And she said, you know, that she was, the idea was, again, women setting the example so that you men will realize your duty. The next day, 2,000 women signed up, volunteered. Now, they were required to take an oath to fight to the death for Russia. And this is the first battalion, what is called the first Women's Battalion of Death. And they were from all areas of Russian society. There were some Red Cross nurses, some people had been servants, there was one princess, there were factory workers, on and on and on. However, what's really unique is of these women who volunteered initially, 90% of them were literate, which is more than twice the regular Russian army with the men. Half had completed high school, and a quarter had been at least at some point in the university. Now, again, the purpose of the battalion is really to restore discipline in the army. So to accomplish that, this unit has to have absolutely iron discipline, and it must be of the highest character. So some of the training that these women were given is pretty tough. Their mattresses were removed from the beds. They slept on boards with a soldier's greatcoat for a cover. If you disobeyed an officer, they expelled you immediately. You were allowed no personal property. Heads were shaved for training, just as the men, and they got the same training as the men. They were also required to carry the same amount of equipment. The Russian army at this time used a standard 65-pound pack. Well, it's a good thing 2,000 people volunteered, because eventually, after the training was done, there were 300 left, okay? Now, they, unfortunately, you would think that this is going to be inspiring, but the men ridiculed them, and so did the people, particularly in the cities. Now, once they got out in the countryside, that's a different story. But if you look at the press from the time period, various right-wing military papers ridiculed them. The Bolshevik worker and soldier newspaper said they would be better served to serve Russia as laundresses, so much for our equal society. The unit eventually left for the front on June the 21st. They were supposed to be part of the 172nd Infantry Division, stationed about 50 miles from Minsk. When they left Petrograd, now Lieutenant Maria Bashkarveva was given a revolver and a sword by General Kornilov, who had now superseded Brusilov, and then Kerensky pinned the epaulets of lieutenant on her shoulders. So the train then traveled through the country, and the people cheered them. So out in the countryside, in the rural area, they were very well respected. Unfortunately, when they arrived at camp, it's full of deserters. And this mob kind of came around the train. So just to get from the train to their camp was a major undertaking. Now, Maria took her revolver and put it in one hand, and then took her sword and put it in the other, and went out and waded into the crowd and shouted, "Get the hell out of my way and let my unit pass." And the men are like, "Whoa." And they just parted, kind of stunned. Their first combat is July the 8th. They fought in the Battle of Smergen, and it was both their first and their last offensive engagement. They surprised the Germans by going on the offensive. They captured 200 German prisoners. They captured one German officer, and he committed suicide when he realized he had surrendered his men to a unit of women. Unfortunately, when the women advanced, the men to some extent stayed behind, and then after a little bit of the fighting, some of the men then came out and were protecting either flank. They got to the second trench line and captured it, and that's when things fell apart, because in the second trench line, a German trench line, there was beer and vodka stashed there, and she was unable to keep the men out of it, and that's as far as they were going to advance. They could not bring up enough reinforcements. The men wouldn't follow them in, so they couldn't continue their advance, and once the advance stalled, then the Germans pooled their forces and counterattacked. And when the Germans counterattacked, the men ran off, leaving the women exposed on both flanks. And they called for reinforcements. Reinforcements were promised. They just didn't show up. And then when they finally did show up, they refused to leave their trenches. So Maria was forced, as a result of the situation, to pull back. She had been wounded. A couple of her other major officers had been wounded, but the unit had fought, although they took losses, had fought with distinction. When they got back to the Russian lines, the men taunted them. What a bunch of idiots, you know? It's just ridiculous. And unfortunately, since the goal of the unit was to motivate the men to fight, since that didn't work, it really defeats the purpose of having the women's unit. Now, there were others organized, and there are others recruited all over Russia, but none of them had the iron-willed commander like the 1st Battalion with Maria. Now, in October, when the revolution takes place and you eventually overthrow the government, then the Winter Palace is taken in November, there is a very strong woman's unit there in Petrograd that was... They were there. Let's see. It's founded by a woman named Fromenko. It's called the Petrograd Women's Unit of 1,000, and there are 135 members of this group that was guarding the Winter Palace. In reality, the government assigned them to guard the government autos at the Winter Palace, but they were really the only effective defense of the Winter Palace, and the only ones that put up any kind of tussle when the Bolsheviks came in on November the 7th. On December the 4th, the unit was disbanded by the new Military Revolution Committee. Now, with the disbanding of all of the women's forces, Maria then joined the Whites, because now Russia is split into the two camps, the Reds and the Whites. We're going to have a civil war. And she joined the whites because she didn't like Lenin, not necessarily because of his Bolshevik attitudes, but because he was making peace with the Germans. Now, she comes to the United States in 1918 and actually begged Woodrow Wilson to send help to Russia. Woodrow was very popular in the United States, traveled all around, gave speeches, was very well treated. But eventually, she returns to Russia and then disappears. And there, no one has claimed to know what happened to her. There is a new claim that she was captured and executed by the Reds, which would certainly make sense. But when you go back into Russia during the War of the Reds and the Whites, anything can happen. And unfortunately, that ends this unique experiment, the Russian Amazons, if you will, the Battalions of Death. Now, as far as sources for this, she wrote a book, My Life as Peasant, Officer, and Exile. It was printed in 1918 by Maria Bochkareva. Okay? And then the second book is Maria Bakareva, The Woman Amazons by Abraham. And then there's an article entitled The Women's Battalions of Death in the Great War by Cockfield. That's from Command Magazine, issue 46, in December of 1997. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website at sumahistorica.com and ask a question, leave a comment, and check out the CDs. Thank you very much.